Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today's tough. I've tried to stay optimistic all of these years. We filed our case in 2002, and I thought our best shot in the government was through the judicial branch, and this is really a blow today.
I'm Andrea Bernstein, sitting in for Brian Lehrer. That was Rebecca Estep of the group talking about curing autism and about the special court ruling yesterday that no link between autism and the MMR vaccine has been shown. This has been a contentious issue for years. We've had several discussions on this show about the controversy. Joining me now to talk about the court ruling is Shankar Vedantam, national reporter covering human behavior for The Washington Post. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks so much for having me, Andrew.
Now, walk us through this ruling. What court was this? Who are the judges? Who are the plaintiffs?
This court was set up by an act of Congress about two decades ago in response to concerns that if people who suffered adverse events from vaccinations, if they sued vaccine makers in civil court, the damages could prove so large that the vaccine makers could essentially be put out of business, and this would damage a central linchpin of the public health infrastructure. And so Congress created a special court, which essentially allowed people who have been injured through vaccines to just appeal directly to federal masters. And rather than what they have to do in civil court, they don't actually have to prove negligence or intentional harm. They just have to prove that they were hurt by the vaccine. And every vaccination that's given in the United States, a small fraction of the money is set aside that goes into a fund, and that fund is used to compensate victims of, the occasional victims of vaccines. The autism case is sort of a special case because, first, because of just the size and number of people claiming to have been hurt by vaccines. There were almost 4,800 families who have filed suit alleging that vaccinations of some kind or the other produced autism or related disorders. And so in order to simplify this mammoth undertaking, the court essentially, the vaccine court, set up three trial cases or three test cases that were supposed to be broadly representative of the 4,800 other cases. And in three separate independent rulings yesterday, special masters decided that the plaintiffs had failed to show a connection between the vaccines and autism.
Now, when you say the plaintiffs are simply required to show that the vaccine caused harm, it's sort of a little perhaps confusing how, a court can make that judgment. I mean, these are not scientists. This is not a scientific review panel. So what is required to present to the judges to show that you've made your case?
Well, it was this odd thing, Andrea, because for many years this was a debate primarily in science circles, and the Institute of Medicine and several other scientific establishment, institutions participated. I would say that the debate pretty much ran its course in sort of the halls of science, and proponents of a vaccine autism link felt they essentially had to go another route because they weren't sort of getting what they wanted in sort of the scientific halls, and so that's what sort of led to the movement toward the courts.
Saying that scientists dismissed it and yet the parents didn't believe it?
That's right. I think it's fair to say the overwhelming majority of scientists and the overwhelming majority of the science suggests that there is no connection between vaccines and autism, which is what the special masters concluded yesterday.
So what was at stake at the parents? Were they trying to get compensation or were they trying to change immunization policy?
I think a bit of both. Families with autistic children, many of them are really, they're really stranded and desperately in need of help, and so I think compensation would be very welcome. Many of these families feel that they have been hurt, and many of them feel they have been intentionally hurt by, public health officials who are covering up, that the fact that vaccines can cause widespread harm. And so I think it's a little bit of both, that they want, financial recompense, but I think they also want a sense of justice that, that the wrong be righted.
Your article mentions that the judges reviewed 5,000 pages of transcripts, 939 medical articles, and 50 expert reports. Is there something that these special masters need to do to qualify them to evaluate this evidence?
Well, I sort of almost got to the previous answer. This was a very odd thing because the court, which has judges who are not scientific experts, essentially became the site where very complex science got debated, and hundreds of medical studies, very very complex testimony, biochemistry, epidemiology, vaccine research, and these three special masters, I don't know if they had specific scientific training, but I imagine they got a lot of training on the job, because this lasted a good long time, and they took a long time reviewing all the evidence.
Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehr, speaking to Shankar Vedantam of The Washington Post about yesterday's ruling that vaccines do not or are not responsible for causing autism. Now, you obviously have covered this case for some time. Have you found yourself becoming more, you've also had to make a judgment, I assume, or evaluate these materials as part of journalism. How has that been, that process? Has that been hard to do?
It's been difficult because I think on the one hand, everyone is extremely sympathetic to what families with children who have autistic children are going through, and I don't think anyone would suggest for a moment that these families do not need help. I think there are a lot of families out there that are really desperate. At the same time, my job as a reporter is also to focus on the evidence, and I think it's fair to say that the overwhelming evidence is against a link and not for it. I've tried to represent that in the articles that I've written.
We can take one or two calls on this. If you've been concerned about immunizations, does this resolve it for you? If you chose not to have your child immunized, does it change your mind? If you have a question about the ruling, call us at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Shankar Vedantam of The Washington Post. One of the things that I think is sort of disturbing, scientific or no, is that there is this chemical thimerosal. Is that right? Do I have that right? Thimerosal?
Thimerosal,
which has some mercury as one of the components. And
yes.
Mercury has been something that we've known for decades has a toxic element. And I think that lots of parents were shocked to find out that vaccines until very recently contained this.
Yeah, I think this was a huge bone of contention a few years ago. Thimerosal has been removed from many vaccines because of concerns raised by activists. I think it's fair to say, however, that I don't think the scientific consensus is that the thimerosal in vaccines really caused harm. And in fact, the courts yesterday evaluated that question and essentially found that there was no connection between thimerosal and autism. In many other countries of the world, thimerosal is still used as a preservative, and if it was removed, public health officials argue it would greatly increase the cost of vaccinations in many countries and potentially leave many children uncovered.
I think that's still, how is it that something that contains mercury is something that you want to inject into a tiny infant?
Yeah, no, I sort of see the drama of the question, but the argument that scientists make is that whenever you inject something into your body, it's the dose at which you inject it that makes all the difference. You can ingest sufficient water to kill yourself, but in moderate amounts, water is essential for life. I think the scientific studies and the scientific establishment, felt that there really is no connection between thimerosal and autism, but largely agreed to, get the preservative removed from vaccines out of concerns that it could prompt parents to not vaccinate their children.
Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehr, talking to Shankar Vedantam of The Washington Post about yesterday's ruling. Now, there was about a year ago a settlement in which vaccine makers admitted no wrongdoing but yet paid out some money. How does that relate to this decision?
I think advocates for a vaccine autism link argue that it's very germane to this discussion. In the final rulings made by the three judges yesterday, they've essentially said that it's not germane to this discussion. The government essentially conceded a case about a year ago, but that involved, I think, a different mechanism of action and a different kind of damage unrelated to the current questions related to autism and related disorders.
Let's take some phone calls, 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC. Particularly interested in hearing from parents about whether this ruling changes your mind about what you may do with your children or if you are pregnant and mulling this over, 212-433-9692. Joshua from Manhattan, hi, you're on WNYC.
Yes, hello. Just had a quick question as far as the comment made by the guest. The overwhelming evidence shows that there is no link to a vaccine and autism. I was wondering if you have information as far as who was the proponent of that overwhelming evidence. Was it the vaccine makers who have most of the money as opposed to the families and their private attorneys? The point is that who pays for the evidence often wins.
Thanks for your question, Josh. Let's see if we can get an answer to that. Do you know?
Well, Andrea, a lot of the work has been done by the federal government, and so it's been paid with tax dollars. And so the Institute of Medicine came up with a major report a couple of years ago looking at this question. And I'm sure that some of the studies on which they rely have involved funding from vaccine makers. And I know that many advocates of a vaccine autism link have essentially used this to discount the evidence. I think it's fair to say that public health officials feel that they have done their due diligence on this. So they've looked at the matter very dispassionately and have reached the conclusion there really is no cause for concern.
All right. Thanks very much for your call. By the way, we did have a parent of a child with autism. We seem to have lost your call. Please call back, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Oops, I was just about to go to Randy, but we seem to have lost your call also. So let's go to Dana from Summit, New Jersey.
Yes, hi. My question is, how did the findings explain what seems to be a strange coincidence with regard to timing of inoculation being given and then the disease being presented?
Do we know that?
Are you asking about individual cases, Dana, or sort of broadly across the board?
Broadly.
Advocates of a link between vaccines and autism have made the argument that as the number of vaccinations for children has increased, it's coincided with a very sharp increase in diagnoses of autism. And I mentioned in my piece yesterday people who make that argument. The researchers and public health officials essentially have again said that this is not a strong connection. That the rise in autism cases to some extent is explained by just better diagnosis than it used to be. I don't think people are ruling out that autism has an environmental component to it. I think it's clear that it seems to have both a genetic and an environmental component to it. But I have not seen the convincing evidence that shows that there is a strong link. I believe about a year or maybe 2 years ago, there was some evidence coming out of the state of California that essentially showed that the autism cases were continuing to increase even as the number of vaccinations was flat or went down.
Thank you for your call, Dana. Andy from Westchester, thanks for calling back.
Hi, I had a problem with my cell phone.
You're on now. Thanks.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment. Our oldest son has a mild form of autism, and we saw the change when he was young after the MMR vaccine. Despite the court rulings and all the evidence to the contrary, we've always felt that that was a part of what happened. And we do have a younger son who we haven't vaccinated yet and are still up in the air about that.
Andy, why do you feel that this happened? Why do you attribute it to the vaccine?
Well, I think the vaccine has a part.
That you saw, some change in behavior right after?
Oh, yeah. Immediately after, there was a huge change of behavior. He stopped being the connected child that he was. And in a lot of cases, my wife has done a lot of work with this, but in a lot of cases, you hear the same refrain over and over again. The child does change shortly after that, generally after the MMR vaccine.
So, Shankar Vedantam, what did the court have to say about that? Because that certainly has been an argument of a lot of parents that their behavior changed after the vaccine, and yet if the court says there's no link, how do you explain that behavior change?
I don't know if the court actually did attempt to explain that behavior change, and it's probably not their mandate to have explained that behavior change. The stories of individual families are obviously extremely compelling and very moving, and the court essentially acknowledged that that emotional contradiction yesterday. All the special masters in their rulings, talked about how much they empathized with the families who have children with autism. At the same time, they said, it's our job to rely on the evidence, and the evidence does not seem to show a link.
We have a comment on our website. JT from Long Island says, "My wife and I were concerned about vaccines when we had a child. The more research I did, the more we became convinced that vaccines had little or nothing to do with autism. I found it interesting that viewing the home movies of children with autism showed that signs of autism were visible well before they got the vaccine." Thanks for your comment, JT. Thanks for your call. Andy, we do have to wrap up, but anything about that, about the home movies, did that come up in the court case?
Not that I know of. The one of the points that I didn't quite make that scientists often argue is that there's also a hidden cost that comes from this controversy, which is that when parents hesitate to vaccinate their children, we know that that has an effect on how the spread of diseases, not just to those children but to the community as a whole. Because when sufficient members of a community are not immunized, the community as a whole is a greater risk than it was before. The damage caused by not vaccinating children, I think, is harder to quantify, and the links are sort of less visible and less dramatic than the links of many families who feel that vaccines are connected with autism. But the data seem to show that that's the bigger concern.
All right, let's take one more call. Peter from Montclair.
Yes, hi. I am always surprised when I hear parents of autistic children talking about the link between vaccinations and autism. It's silly, it's foolish, it's not backed up by the scientific evidence at all. It's been known for quite some time that there's no link, and it's very upsetting as a scientific-minded individual to keep on hearing the mantra and the post hoc ergo prop arguments. This because of that, my child got autism after being vaccinated. It's just silly. It's not scientific. Why are we having these non-scientific arguments in the 21st century?
Peter, if you have a parent of a child with autism, you notice a behavior change. There, it may not be scientifically based, yet do you have no sympathy for people who come to that conclusion?
Yes, because there's a scientific way of thinking, a logical way of thinking, and then there's just believing that, in medievalism, in shamanism, in fraud.
All right, hang on. I think that, yes, but I understand your point, but, let's not try to be insulting of people who've had this terrible tragedy in their lives. Thank you for your call, Peter. Shankar Vandantam, we have to wrap up, but any final words?
No, and actually, I sort of agree with what you just said, Andrea. If I was the parent of a child who went through this, I think, I would reach the same conclusion or feel the same concern as many parents of children with autism. So there really sort of is a disconnect between the emotional truth of what the families are saying and the scientific truth of what the data is saying.
All right, thank you very much. Shankar Vandantam, national reporter and columnist covering human behavior for The Washington Post. Thanks to everyone who called and commented. The conversation, as always, continues online at WNYC.org. Click on The Brian Lehrer Show. By the way, coming up later in the hour, it's Valentine's Day meets Friday the 13th. Love is in the air, but so is bad luck. We'll be taking your calls and comments about your worst date ever. We'll open up the phone lines in about 20 minutes. Before you can go right now, you can go to WNYC.org and post the story of your worst date. And speaking of hot and cheap, we'll have more of that in a minute, right after this.